Chapter 1. The Coming of Bruce. She was beautiful, and she had a heart and soul which were a curse, for without such a heart and soul she might have found the tough life battle less bitterly hard to fight. But the world does queer things, damnable things, to hearts that are so tenderly all-loving and to souls that are so trustfully and forgivingly friendly as hers. Her pedigree name was Rothsay-lass. She was a collie, daintily fragile of build, sensitive of nostril, furrily tawny of coat. Her ancestry was as flawless as any in Burke's peerage. If God had sent her into the world with a pair of tulip ears and with a shadeless width of brain space, she might have been cherished and coddled as a potential bench show winner, and in time might even have won immortality by the title of Champion Rothsay-lass. But her ears pricked rebelliously upward, like those of her earliest ancestors, the wolves. Nor could manipulation lure their stiff cartilages into drooping as bench show fashion demands. The average show collie's ears have a tendency to prick. By weights and plasters, and often by torture, this tendency is overcome, but never when the cartilage is as unyielding as was Lass's. Her graceful head harked back in shape to the days when collies had to do much independent thinking, as sheep guards, and when they needed more brain room than is afforded by the borzoi skill sought after modern bench show experts. Wherefore Lass had no hope whatever of winning laurels in the show ring, of attracting a high price from such rich fancier. She was tabulated, from babyhood, as a second, in other words, as a faulty specimen in a litter that should have been faultless. These seconds are as good to look at from any layman's view as is any international champion, and their offspring are sometimes as perfect as those of the finest specimens. But lacking the arbitrary points demanded by show judges, the seconds are condemned to obscurity and to sell as pets. If Lass had been a male dog, her beauty and sense and lovableness would have found a ready purchaser for her. For 9 pet collies out of 10 are seconds, and splendid pets they make for the most part. But Lass, at the very start, had committed the unforgivable sin of being born a female. Therefore no pet seeker wanted to buy her, even when she was offered for sale at half the sum asked for her less handsome brothers. No one wanted her. A mare, or the female of nearly any species except the canine, brings as high and as ready a price as to the male, but never the female dog. Except for breeding, she is not wanted. This prejudice has its start in the Crusader days, some 1,000 years ago. Up to that time, all through the civilized world, a female dog had been more popular as a pet than a male. The Mohammedans, to whom, by creed, all dogs are unclean, gave their European foes the first hint that a female dog was the lowest thing on earth. The Saracens despised her as the potential mother of future dogs, and they loathed her accordingly. Back to Europe came the Crusaders, bearing only 3 lasting memorials of their contact with the Muslims. One of the 3 was a sneering contempt for all female dogs. There is no other pet as loving, as quick of wit, as loyal, as staunchly brave, and as companionable as the female collie. She has all the male's best traits, and none of his worst. She has more in common, too, with the highest type of woman than is any other animal alive. This, with all due respect to womanhood. Prejudice has robbed countless dog lovers of the joy of owning such a pal. In England, the female pet dog has at last begun to come into her own. Here she has not. The loss is ours. And so back to Lass. When the would-be purchasers were conducted to the puppy run at the Rothsay Kennels, Lass and her 6 brethren and sisters were wont to come galloping to the gate to welcome the strangers. For the pups were only 3 months old, an age when every event is thrilling and interesting, and everybody is a friend. 3 times out of 5 the buyer's eyes would single Lass from the rollicking and fluffy mass of puppyhood. She was so pretty, so wistfully appealing, so free from fear and from bumptiousness as well, and carried herself so daintily that one's heart warmed to her. The visitor would point her out, the kennelman would reply flatteringly, "Yes, she sure is one fine pup." The purchaser never waited to hear the end of the sentence before turning.